Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the assurance that Jesus gives us in the gospel we have just heard. The six critical ministries, funded in part by the Catholic Ministries Appeal, essentially give invitations every day to the poor, the lame, and the blind as they address the spiritual, educational, and material needs of God's people. I am happy to be with you today to celebrate this Mass of Thanksgiving and to express my appreciation to the many who support the 2019 Catholic Ministries Appeal Collection. With their prayers and donations to the Catholic Ministries Appeal, they have been witnesses of Jesus' love for others by helping to sustain the seminary, our vocations program, Catholic charities and Catholic social services, campus, hospital, and prison ministries, retired archdiocesan priests, St. Rita's School for the Deaf, and the Office of the New Evangelization. Christians have always shared what we have with those who have not. St. Paul, for example, tirelessly collected money for the church in Jerusalem while on his missionary journeys. He and his collaborators understood that however blessed we may be in material goods, those goods are not ours permanently. They are merely under our stewardship to be used responsibly and shared generously. The same is equally true of our time and of our natural abilities. We often speak of talents as gifts, and so they are, gifts of the divine giver. Everything we have and are is a gift. With that giftedness in mind, the first letter of Peter instructs us, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. In today's first reading, written about 200 years before Christ, the sage Sirach assures us that water quenches a flaming fire, alms atones for sins. Taken out of context, that might sound like Sirach is saying that almsgiving buys God's forgiveness for our transgressions. However, that is not the true theme of this passage. Sirach's primary message to his readers is to conduct your affairs with humility. Humility is the opposite of pride, which was the original temptation and the original sin in the Garden of Eden. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, Sirach says, and you will find favor with God. Not burdened with self-importance and exclusive individualism, the humble person realizes that all our blessings come from God to be employed for the common good. Almsgiving flows from that. In today's gospel, Christ also urges humility. Speaking to his fellow guests at the home of a presumably wealthy Pharisee, he utters one of his most famous maxims. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is a paradoxical teaching, perhaps one that was more difficult to understand for those who first heard it than for those of us who are today familiar with it. At the same time, Jesus offers some practical instructions on how to be humble. Take the lower place, not the place of honor. Do not invite those who can invite you back, but rather invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. This is not a strategy to win friends and influence people who count in worldly terms. This is stewardship, sharing some of the goods in our care with those who are unable to repay the favor. Still, Jesus assures us that there will be recompense. We will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Thus, both the gospel and the first reading promise an ultimate and everlasting reward for the humble of heart. The venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen once humorously observed that humility is the most difficult of all the virtues to acquire. Because when you decide that you have indeed acquired it, in fact, you have then lost it. Real humility, as opposed to insincere imitation. Real humility is simply an acknowledgement of God's abundant gifts to us. It is not rooted in self-loathing or insecurity, but in reality. As the Christian writer C.S. Lewis put it, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. A humble person who is a superior artist, athlete, or chess player, for example, never denies the gift, nor does that person forget the giver. Such a person is always aware that without the talents bestowed by God, any amount of hard work and dedication would bear little fruit. He or she realizes that the gifts are given to be shared as good stewards of God's varied grace. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said that Jesus is the ultimate definition of humility. The second person of the Blessed Trinity, part of the eternal Godhead, became one of us, human in all things but sin. As St. Paul stated, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In this gift of himself at Calvary, Christ shared all that he had for our salvation. He could give no more. That is why today's second reading, taken from the letter to the Hebrews, refers to the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. In soaring language, the writer draws a strong contrast between the old covenant of Moses and the new covenant of Christ. Everything has changed because of the sacrificial gift of Christ on the cross. And Jesus continues to share himself with us this very day in the Eucharist. This is the perfect model of stewardship. We might say that Jesus is not only the good shepherd, but also the good steward. As we approach the table of the Lord today in this holy sacrifice of the Mass, we're thankful for God's gift of Jesus. We are thankful for all the good stewards who have shared their bountiful harvest for the common good. And we are thankful for the grace to be good stewards of our own manifold gifts from God.